Now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
It's 7 o'clock and it's a Thursday, so it must be the real Shout Out. Hello and welcome, I'm Andy Shilton.
And I'm Steffi Barnett. Today it's that time will be exclusively revealing the act performing at Bristol Pride this year.
Plus we find out about ARA, a registered charity formed to help those with alcohol, drug, gambling and mental health issues.
All coming today right here on Shout Out.
Pride, pride, pride. Pride, pride. Hello, Mr. Star.
Hello, I'm all right, thank you.
I wonder who that bloke was in the corner.
you need your eyes tested
Mr.
again,
Mr. Star.
Don't you? Before we do this, can we say a big thank you to the Pride team for letting us do this year?
Yes,
it's
indeed.
Normally always embargoed until a Friday. We always look, but we broadcast on a Thursday, and they really kindly reached out
year,
and said that they would let us have the exclusive reveal. So, if you've read it anywhere else, they're being very naughty.
It was very, very naughtily leaked.
It didn't leak.
But hopefully the genie is back in the bottle and we can let it out again tonight.
So it was only out for a little bit. And it wasn't a case of it leaked per se. They posted it when they didn't read the embargo.
It wasn't us. It wasn't us or this station.
But yes, no. Everywhere else is on an embargo till 8 tomorrow?
7
tomorrow.
For the breakfast
morning.
Shows,
If you're listening to us live or one of the repeats on a Thursday, you are going to find out exclusively on Shout Out. All of the acts, most of the acts, I think, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the headline act that will be at Bristol Pride this year. So if you want to know, keep listening, and Steph and Darren will have it all for you later on.
We will.
Wonderful.
So, yeah, it feels like a million miles away, given how cold it is at the moment, doesn't it, though?
It does.
You know, I hope
it's cold for April.
We had the first kind of like rainy one last year. We've had like
that was
a
the
run
first
of
bit of rain we've
years.
Had at Pride in a long time.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
So they normally, fingers crossed, it's a good one again.
Yeah,
this year.
They normally are very lucky with the weather.
Yeah,
but then again, you know, gays control the weather, as we know.
Well, someone was obviously upset. So, you know,
somebody was having a tantrum.
That'd be Steffi, did you have a tantrum and make it rain?
I did not. Don't blame me. I didn't want it to rain. I was out on the marsh. I had no cover.
Yes.
So, we do say it a lot, but we are looking for volunteers to get involved with Shout Out. And that does include helping with things like Bristol Pride. So if you are interested, or perhaps, you know, if you thought about doing your own show or podcast or something and you'd like a bit of experience, if you're LGBT+, give us a shout. And if you're not, give us a shout, because there's a whole BCFM and several stations that we work with. There's loads of different shows. Plenty of opportunity to get involved and see how it all works behind the scenes and the like. And if you're one of those that's a little bit nervous about being on radio, don't worry. We don't make you go on radio. It's if you want to go on radio, there's plenty to do behind the
scenes. You haven't made me? You mean I can not be here?
Yeah, we need some more people to do Steph's makeup, you see.
I lost my makeup artist a few months back. No. Drastic times. You need makeup people, hair
for
people.
For radio,
absolutely. Yeah, private parking space.
It's like the early days of the BBC, isn't it, where they used to have to wear dinner jackets.
Oh,
when they
yeah.
were announcing, because Lord Reith proclaimed it was necessary, yeah.
On the radio?
Yes.
Yeah, the early days of the BBC, yeah. Mm. Apparently it's not a myth. In the 1930s on the Beeb, they had to dress up smart, even though they were on the radio.
Gosh.
And as for television,
it was that kind of era, wasn't it?
You know? It was different times, different
and
times.
Very plummy.
The BBC in its early incarnation
What's that mean?
Posh.
How now, brown cow.
Oh, I see, yes. You had to speak Queen's English.
You did in those days. It was only really in the 60s that accents started to come in.
Steph, you'd be screwed back then.
I'm screwed now.
You did.
Wasn't at the BBC very long, was I?
You don't.
I always blame COVID, but it was like somebody with a Bristolian accent on BBC Radio Bristol.
Oh, yeah. No,
we're not having that.
What's the chap who's doing the breakfast?
Yeah.
Oh, he's quite broad.
He's more Bristolian than you.
But it's about time, isn't it? Yeah. How long have we waited for BBC Bristol to have a Bristolian accent?
Yeah. Well, we're still waiting for them to do anything LGBT, you know.
Well, we did Pride
we do
with
bits
them.
With them
the BBC so moves might slowly. Be doing, might, it's might like the Catholic Church.
They might be with us for Pride this year, you know.
Maybe.
Yeah, perhaps. Maybe.
We'll see.
Yeah. So, anyway, nice. Kate, is it Kate Hicks?
Yes, Aura. Yeah, and we're specifically.
Do they call it Aura, not Aura?
They do call it Aura. Yeah.
We're specifically talking about a gambling addiction in this
big
interview
issue,
because
issue,
they do
yeah.
cover quite a few things, addictions, but this is specifically for gambling. As far as I'm aware, we've never done gambling before.
Yeah. No, not in a huge deal. So. Cool, have a listen to this.
We've covered lots of types of addiction on Shoutout, but I don't think we've ever covered gambling addiction. So this will be a first, actually, and I'm talking to Kate. Kate, welcome to Shoutout, and you're from an organisation called ARA, A-R-A.
Yes, that's right. So it's called ARA Recovery for All, and it's a registered charity formed in 1987 by a group of volunteers.
Okay, so why did it start? Was it just something you felt wasn't being covered in the area?
Well, initially it started off, I think, as sort of a drugs and alcohol recovery service. Now it provides lots of different services. So it provides like housing support, prison resettlement, structured treatment and counselling for gambling-related harms, which is what I do. Education and training around prevention of gambling harms, as well as employment guidance.
That's quite a big spread, isn't it?
I know. Yeah. So I joined like 18 months ago now, and I work sort of within the gambling services. So although we're based in Bristol, we do cover the whole of the southwest of England and then all of Wales as well. And we have a free treatment support service for anyone who may be experiencing harm through their gambling, but also for someone who might be affected by someone's gambling. So we have sort of one-on-one counselling sessions, which can be face-to-face, on the phone or online. And we also run relapse prevention workshops for groups and early recovery sessions too.
Wow, that's quite a job that the organisation does, isn't it? Yeah.
It's forever growing as well.
Yeah,
which is great. But I think, the gambling side of things just started in 2008. So since then, it has grown hugely. And
does that mean the issue's getting worse, that you're finding more and more people getting addicted to gambling?
I think there's more awareness around it now. I think, you know, drugs and alcohol has always been a known thing. Like there's training within schools and whatnot about those kind of harms, but gambling has always been quite a stigmatized subject. Like we call it the hidden harm. You know, if you saw someone intoxicated with drugs and alcohol, you might be concerned, but if you saw someone placing bets on the national lottery on their phone, you know you wouldn't think there was an issue, but really, you know, their world could be absolutely falling apart. So we also go into schools, we go into organizations, and we run awareness workshops as well, just so that we kind of try and destigmatize the whole subject.
Mm. Do you think the large gambling companies do enough to try and protect people?
Absolutely not. No, okay. I don't. I think now, because there's more awareness, there's more funding going into it, I think, you know, adverts are ever so slightly changing. There's, you know, maybe more of a warning sign at the bottom saying gamble aware, or, you know, gamble responsibly. But I think, you know, I think we're years away from, it's like, you know, tobacco adverts, for example, they're now completely banned. But, you know, with gambling, it's just so normal. You see it absolutely everywhere now. In answer to your question, no.
Mm. Do you think that means there's not enough coverage from MPs actually focusing on the issue with gambling, that they're just not paying the attention to these large companies that seem oblivious to it and just keep advertising? I mean, there's huge ones, especially companies like Sky, who are advertising, well, they're showing series and films and that, you know, to an audience that could be quite young and impressionable.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And you know, it's a huge issue around sport because sports teams and clubs are sponsored by these huge gambling companies. So it's, you know, it's a real challenge. I think there was some research done that they saw in one football match there were 700 adverts in that whole match. So that included, you know, sponsorship on t-shirts, banners around the stadium, adverts when it broke for adverts on TV. So yeah, but I think, you know, one thing I definitely want to talk about is that we've now started a working group looking into gambling harms within the LGBTQ plus community. And this is because evidence, even though research, you know, is quite minimal at the moment, it suggests that gay, lesbian and bisexual women report disordered gambling scores 2.57 times higher than heterosexual women, and that gay and bisexual men are 7 times more likely to experience the most severe forms of gambling harms than heterosexual men. So this is something that we're really wanting to look into at the moment.
That's incredible figures, isn't it? I mean, if you ask somebody in the street, they probably say there would be no difference whether you're LGBTQIA or straight. But obviously, that your figures show something completely different. Why do you think that is? Is there any reason that you're picking up on, Kate?
Yeah, absolutely. So this isn't research that we've done as an organisation. It's so Rhys Bush is a lecturer at Bournemouth University, and he's been doing this studying so far. So we're working alongside him. But in answer to your question, it's because life stresses experienced by LGBTQ plus people. So, for example, harassment, discrimination, isolation, victimization, difficulties with gender expression and so on are linked with higher levels of problem gambling, because the research shows how gambling might offer relief from these pressures and then potentially lead to an escalating levels of harm. And also in the research that Rhys Bush has done, many LGBTQ plus people who gamble say that they turn to gambling as a way to cope with the distress caused by these certain life stressors.
Mm-hmm. Do you think then that's running in parallel with people turning to alcohol and drugs, because there's also a higher percentage within the LGBTQ people of that? And I would guess that's societal, because it's only pressures from society and hate speak that push people into these sort of horrible areas, rather than sending love and saying, look, we're here for you. You know, you're part of our society, which would probably mean there'd be a lot less queer people going into addiction of any type.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, although, you know, we're speaking specifically about gambling, there's huge links with drugs and alcohol addiction as well. And quite often they all run, like you say, parallel with each other. But I think there's just been a lot less research into the gambling side of things. So this is why we're kind of looking into it. And so, you know, if for anyone who might be interested in learning a little bit more about this, we're actually running a webinar on the 30th of April at 10 a.m. So it's a free webinar that you can sign up to through Eventbrite. And we have 4 amazing speakers. So Rhys Bush, who has conducted this research, will be there. So he'll talking about all the stats behind it, the comorbidities, as you've mentioned. But we're doing it to explore the intersection of LGBTQ plus identity and gambling harm. And this is, we're aiming to kind of break down the barriers for LGBTQ plus individuals accessing services, kind of unpicking, you know, why, if the research shows that people within that community are more at risk, why is the data not showing that, if you know what I mean? And we're really keen to sort of make treatment services more inclusive and accessible. So we have Rhys Bush, we have one of our own counsellors from ARA Recovery for All speaking from kind of a counselling treatment perspective. And then we have 2 amazing individuals with lived experience. So Ruth Birch, she's been on lots of other radio stations and TV. She's brilliant. She is a gay woman, but she was in the armed forces when it was banned, you know, when you weren't allowed to be gay. And so she talks about her experience and how she kind of coped. And then Danielle is a trans woman who used exactly what I said in the research, used gambling as a form of trying to cope with, you know, her gender identity. but two amazing people who would talk about their personal stories. So there might be some, you know, difficult things mentioned, but it's 90 minutes long and it's definitely worth coming along if you just want to know a bit more about this.
Talking about getting to know more, you obviously got website and phone numbers that people can, in confidence, get in touch and call you. So how would they do that?
So they can go onto our website. So it's recoveryforall.co.uk, and the four is the number four. There on the website you can see all our different services, but you can see where gambling support services are, and you can do a self-referral or you can just ring direct. And the number is, let me get the number, is 0330 1340 286. So that's if you know, need some support, whether you are the person who's gambling yourself, or you might be a partner or a friend or a relative of someone who is gambling. And for the webinar, if you're interested to join, then you can just search on Eventbrite, gambling harms in the LGBTQ plus community.
Right. Hey, can you give me that phone number one more time, just in case somebody missed it?
So the number is 0330 1340 286.
Hey, thank you so much for joining us on Shout Out. And on behalf of everyone who's listening, I thank you so much to your organisation and to you for all the work you're doing to help the community. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out podcast.
Oh, that takes me back to my teenage years.
You were a teenager?
That was Everybody's Free by Rosala.
I was a teenager when that
90s
came out.
That came out. You can hear that electro beat in the background.
Great period for music. Really good.
I was a late clubber.
So. Well, I still think the 90s was like the era that really brought in clubbing.
Some
like
bangers.
Proper banging track.
Did loads of clubbing in the 90s.
I said it, I.
From about
a
90,
DJ did loads of clubs.
93, yeah. I think I started
In
clubbing.
Fact, the most famous one I DJ'd in was GAY at the Astoria.
Yeah?
Have you DJed GAY? I did.
I covered a DJ who was off sick. I was there because I was socialising with friends, but one of the guys I was with happened to be an agent. And he was chatting, and luckily I hadn't had anything to drink at this point. We hadn't been there that long, and they got a message saying that the DJ that was supposed to be performing was ill and wasn't going to make it, and they had this like 2-hour slot or something. I have never been so nervous in my life.
I was
18 or 19, so I was still quite young and quite, you know, new
out. Into the scene,
And the like, and the story, and the Astoria was one of the first places I ever went when I'm like, oh my God, there's more gays than just me. You know, when you first looked over the balcony at everyone dancing below you. And I did a set for 2 hours and entertained everyone, and it felt like about 2 minutes, and I was so nervous I needed a lot of drink afterwards. Luckily it was all free afterwards.
Isn't it surprising how fast time goes when you're just a little bit nervous doing gigs? It's just like, well, that's over.
But the concentration as well. I mean, it's like Pride. It's a long day broadcasting.
Yeah, but
I mean, we're on site from 8 in the morning till about 10 at night.
But it goes fast.
But it goes really quickly.
It goes really quickly. Yeah. You think it's about midday and it's like 5 o'clock or something.
And you kind of run on adrenaline too. So and you get home and you're like, right, cool, let's party. Let's have a couple of drinks to celebrate. And you have like one gin and tonic and you're on the floor fast asleep. You know, that may have something to do with being 46 as opposed to 26, but still.
It's very busy, isn't it, as well, our Pride broadcast?
It is.
I mean, there's a lot happening.
You know, we start about 10 in the morning and don't finish till about 10 at night.
Yeah,
that's right.
And we're on the go, running around. Lucky we got a good team and everyone knows their part.
Yeah,
they do indeed.
Even bigger team this year. We got two people out in the crowd.
Yes.
We had.
We're still looking for more.
Tristan Blytho was doing it last year, but we've got Marcus of BCFM Radio also helping. So two people out in the crowd, so that'd be good.
For the time they can. We do get to a point where you can't physically get in and out.
That's very true. Yeah, but they can do the stages. It'd be nice to sort of cover some of the drag stage as well.
And the announcement is only minutes away.
It is indeed.
From the big reveal.
Before that, Mr. Starr, can we get some news headlines from
you? You can indeed. Shout Out News, welcome along. LGBTQ Nation Online magazine says that the author Joanne Rowling, who has maintained daily attacks on transgender women for the last few years, has scored a alleged serious own goal after she denied that the German fascist dictatorship that caused the Second World War and led to the deaths of around 50 million people also targeted trans people. Jewish journalist Rivka Brown called Ms. Rowling out on the claim, pointing out that among the very first victims of the Nazi regime were the gay, lesbian and gender non-conformist peoples of Germany. LGBTQ Nation's Greg Owen takes up the story, saying, quote, "Now, for her Holocaust denying efforts and threats of litigation, Rowling has been rewarded with a top trending hashtag on X, formerly known as Twitter. Kendall Brown posted to X, congrats to J.K. Rowling for using her endless wealth to force a Jewish journalist to retract her correct statement that J.K. Rowling is a Holocaust denier. You sure showed that one writer by making your Holocaust deniable trend site-wide, a masterful gambit," they concluded. Whilst Rivka Brown apologised to Miss Rowling for using the term, quote, "Holocaust denier" to describe her, others refused to do so. Serious Trans Vibe Comics posted a detailed political cartoon showing how the Nazis treated LGBT plus people during their reign of terror. They also reiterated the allegation about Rowling and added, quote, "In solidarity with Rivka Brown, a Jewish journalist who has been forced to retract calling a certain youth author a Holocaust denier." By way of explanation, the UK Holocaust Memorial Trust explains, in addition to singling out the Jewish people for complete annihilation, the Nazis targeted for discrimination and persecution anybody they believed threatened their idea of a pure Aryan race. Their devotion to what they believed was racial purity and their opposition to racial mixing partly explains their hatred towards Jewish, Roma and Shinty Gypsy people and black people. Slavic people, such as those from Poland and Russia, were considered inferior and were targeted because they lived in areas wanted for German expansion. And the Nazis wanted to improve, quote, the genetic makeup of the population, and so they persecuted people they deemed to be disabled, either mentally or physically, as well as gay people. Political opponents, primarily communists, trade unionists and social democrats, as well as those whose religious beliefs conflicted with their ideology, such as Jehovah's Witnesses, were also targeted. Hundreds of thousands of lives were destroyed because of Nazi persecution of many groups, and some of the groups did not receive acknowledgement of their suffering until years after 1945, they explained. Now, ethical computer hacking has been a feature of the web landscape since the early days of the internet. Groups like Anonymous have taken down right-wing and hate groups, big corporations and tech giants, and in many ways are a modern comedian and the signing person. I think it might have been at a Pride event, actually. The BSL interpreter did that kind of movement for the tragedy bit, The band picked up on it, and that, they went with
I
that.
I tell you, the signers they have at concerts, and especially the ones they have at Pride, Bristol Pride.
They're brilliant.
They're incredible. Mm. Yes. They're an act on their own.
Yeah, deserve a medal. So.
And it's not the easiest thing to do to translate from one language to another when you hear it.
But also,
I think with the songs as well, they have to have them on a script as well, because it's not easy to hear some of the words when they're indeed, sung. Yes. So they have them.
Yeah, of course.
Well, and to bop along as well.
And to bop along, yeah. So, but it's great. Now, talking of Pride.
Yeah.
Woohoo!
Here it is. This is the lovely Darren Carter. You had to do this because he's disappeared for a bit, isn't he?
Has.
Is he on holiday?
I don't know. I didn't ask. None of my business. He wasn't going to be here.
He wasn't going to be here. But this is Steph catching up with Darren. And this is it. This is your exclusive reveal.
Drum roll,
of
please.
The acts at Bristol Pride this year, exclusively on Shoutout.
Everyone will know that we've been at Bristol Pride outside broadcasting now since almost the inception of Bristol Pride itself. Now, before we get into the headliner announcements, I've got Darren Carter with me, who will be doing that in a moment. First of all, Darren, how did you get involved with Bristol Pride? Was that just an accidental thing, or did you go out of your way to do it?
I went out of my way to do it, but so I've been involved now for 15 years. It'll be my 15th year this year. And actually, it was just really good timing for me, because I was here in Bristol. I was working for the BBC at the time, and I just taking redundancy, and yeah, had a bit of time on my hands, and I'd seen that actually a few people coming together to try and make Pride happen in Bristol. There hadn't been one since the early 90s. And it was just a bit of a call out, really, to see if anyone wanted to get involved and be part of that. And I'd worked quite a lot in diversity and equality work at the BBC. So, and with some time on my hands, I thought, yes, I'd love to get involved in that. And so I just went along to one of the meetings just thinking, you know, I'd just volunteer some help and just see what I can do. And then, yeah, before I knew it, I was one of the directors founding the festival. That was back in 2009, and delivered our first one in 2010.
You must have been really surprised at how successful Bristol Pride has become and how huge it's become. But also your award that you got and recognition, that must be so satisfying.
Yeah, I mean, it's just incredible to think, as you say, like that journey that we've been on. And, you know, I remember back in 2009, just how hard it was to even make Pride happen. I think there'd been quite a few false starts in Bristol, and people were like, oh, yeah, it'll never happen, you know. But actually to kind of overcome that and deliver our first one in 2010. And you know, we had probably just under 5,000 people at the festival across the day, 400 people on the march. You know, we're really pleased with that. You know, every Pride of any size is so vital and important. But you kind of flash forward and, you know, last year we had 25,000 people on the parade march. We typically get about 40,000 people up on the festival on the Downs now. So, yeah, it's been a journey. And it's just lovely because sometimes, you know, for many years it's been quite a thankless task, and it's a lot of hard work, you know, a lot of volunteering hours. And, you know, I work every hour under the sun to make Pride happen. And I know a lot of people who get involved and volunteer their time do as well. So to have that recognition and thanks is just lovely. And for Pride to win awards, you know, Bristol Pride picking up Best Pride Organisation this year, is just wonderful. It feels amazing, but it's also just, it's testament to the hard work and how much effort everyone's put into to get where we are now. So really it feels like such a collective win for all of us as a community here in Bristol.
Yeah, those of you who've never been to Bristol Pride, it is up there, isn't it, with Brighton Pride and Manchester Pride in its size and expanse. And people who just think there's one stage, there's multiple stages, so there's something for everybody. And now you're on the Bristol Downs, there's a huge amount of space as well, isn't there?
Yeah, it's great. And actually, you know, there was a lot of hard work to get us to the Downs. You know, to make that happen was a journey in itself. Now that we're there, it's wonderful because there's a lot of green space. You know, it feels like a proper festival. But as you say, there's the space there, so we can have five stages, which is what we have, food areas, youth areas, a family area for younger people as well. But most importantly, our community tent, and that just gets bigger and bigger every year. And in fact, we can't hire any more marquees to make it bigger than it is. And that's just, you know, that's so vital. It's at the heart of the festival, where we have space for over 40 organisations that, you know, have LGBT plus support services, social groups, charities and activities. So really, you know, that's, for me, that's, you know, the most important part of Pride Day, really, you know, as well as the artists and performers, but getting to see all those wonderful organisations and the support that they're there to give the community all year round is so vital.
Now, for those who buy wristbands, there is free bus travel, or has been. Is that going to continue for this year, Darren?
It is, yeah. So, yeah, if you you get one of our supporter wristbands, you get free bus travel all day with First Bus in the Bristol Zone. So, and that's quite a large, very large area of Bristol. So that's fantastic. And that's all day long. So you can go home, come back, get into town, come to the after parties, etc. So that's such a great part of those wristbands. So yeah, that'll be happening again this year. And they also give you money off on site on the bars as well. So if you've got a wristband, you'll be paying 50p less for your drinks than everyone else who hasn't got one. So have a couple of drinks, have a bus journey, you paid your money back, as well as getting 10 hours of amazing entertainment.
Yeah, I always think that every year it is worth that wristband, isn't it? It's such good value.
Oh, it is. And you know, look, we need people to give us the support to help make Pride happen. You know, you can come and just give a donation. That's such an important part of what we do and a part of our ethos with Pride. But we want everyone who can afford one to get a wristband to help us keep on making Pride happen and getting better every year. So to do that, we incentivize, and it's great that we're able to work with First Bus to offer that free travel. And, you know, with our providers, you know, because we're partnered with them, and, you know, we get to kind of dictate a little bit. We get to say, you know, yeah, reward people for supporting us, give them some money off the drinks prices. So why not?
We had Alad on the show, giving us all the drag headliners, but we have an exclusive thanks to you, Darren. So we'll be announcing on Thursday night ahead of the Friday press release. Can you give us now the rundown of the headliners for the main stage?
So obviously the main stage is it's just such an incredible space where we've got the opportunity to platform some amazing performers, and that ranges from local talent to international talent as well. So yeah, we've got some great acts across the day, including some favourites we're bringing back to the festival. So Rosala will be joining us. We've got Ladytron reforming, and they're going to be performing in Bristol after they got back together last year and toured America. So that's going to be amazing to have them. Dylan and the Moon, who won the Project Icon with Jason Derulo, will be performing. And I'm really excited to say that we've got Claire Richards from Steps back with us this year. So she'll be performing in our afternoon slot. But you want to know who our headliner is. So I'm really excited to announce that the Human League will be headlining the festival this year. I know, it's just absolutely incredible. We are so excited. It's been the biggest headliner we've ever had here in Bristol Pride. And I know it's going to be incredible.
Wow. I was almost lost for words. I was in shock then when you mentioned Human League. I was not expecting that, Darren. That's absolutely amazing.
Yeah, it is. It is incredible. It's really amazing. But I'm just really, I'm so excited. You know, I know that it's going to be a really special performance. You know, they want to really give something special for this performance because it's a Pride audience. There's so many hits. I've been doing the write-up and like going through some of the songs, and yeah, it's just hit after hit after hit. And if I'm honest, their greatest hits album was one of the, you know, very first CDs that I, you know, had permanently living in my car. So yeah, it's going to be great.
Yeah, can you imagine? There's 40,000 voices raised in singing along with those great hits from Human League.
I think there's going to be. You'd probably be able to hear it all across Bristol when they start singing Don't You Want Me Baby. I think everyone will be joining that in. And yeah, it's going to sound amazing.
It is. Of course, Shout Out are going to be there. We've been privileged to be allowed to broadcast as outreach. For those people who can't actually get to Pride for whatever reason, you can listen to us right across the greater Bristol area. We're hoping to link up with quite a few stations, which we did for your 10th anniversary when we got 10 stations and we did a co-broadcast with the BBC. Hoping to do that again this year. So really looking forward to chatting to the headliners after. So even if you are there, you can actually tune in after listening, because the guests always come. They're really good, the guests who come along after they're pumped from the stage. And we usually have a lovely chat with them. And you can find out about their backstory and how they got where they were. And, of course, their plans. Darren Carter, thank you so much for joining us on Shout Out, and obviously we'll be working closely with you for that great broadcast day when Shout Out will be on BCFM radio as a minimum, broadcasting throughout the day, and we will also, like last year, be covering the march live, which is great for community radio and a small show like Shout Out to be able to